Welcome to the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast. This is Diane, your lactation consultant.
And this is Abby, the Badass Breastfeeder. And today's episode is brought to you by Sarah's Chill. Sarah's Chill was created by a mom for moms, and they know the challenges that this journey can bring. Their shield-made nipple guards help parents overcome obstacles with latching, soreness, and flatter inverted nipples. We will hear more about that later, but you can head to badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com and check out our sponsor page. See if you ever need anything. Check there, because they make this podcast possible. And while you're there, you can scroll down and enter your email address, and we'll send episodes straight to your inbox every week. And we are on Patreon. Is there anybody out there that doesn't know this yet? Well, then why aren't you there? You should be there. It's awesome. We have extra, we record extra episodes for you. We have Zoom hangouts with Diane and I and the patrons. I don't know that word.
I don't know what they call them.
And just the, you know, our people, our badasses.
Yeah.
And we can, you know, we talk and we have mini podcasts and we have all kinds of stuff that we post in there. So you can head to the top link in the description under this episode, wherever you're listening from, there'll be a link at the top and you can head there and it'll show you the tiers and the different benefits you get at each tier. And I believe I just saw we have a few. If you've never been on Patreon before and you're not following other people, there's like a free trial.
Oh.
I don't know if it's a new thing because I just saw that there's like a few people that signed up.
That's cool.
So you can like check it out and yeah. And I haven't done shout outs in a while. So I'm going to shout out some people like Allie M and Ashley H and Rudy G and Stephanie D and Rachel M and Rebecca G. Thanks for joining us. We hope you're enjoying your time there. We also have our Revolution Parenting episodes in Patreon as well. Mm-hmm. And we are still hosting our ongoing giveaway of reviews. So if you leave a review anywhere on the internet, send us a screenshot of that and your address, and we'll send you a goodie bag of stickers, podcast stickers, and not just random stickers, podcast stickers, and... some thank you for nursing in public cards. You can send that over to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com. I think Diane now has our review of the week. Again, I said, I think, like, I don't know what's going to happen next.
I know. And I do have our review of the week, Abby. This is Railroading Mama. That's who it's from. I am saying that because it's a precursor to the rest of it. I work in an industry where being a woman is still unconventional. The more I listen to this podcast and the longer I am on my breastfeeding journey, the most empowered I get. My son is 10 months. While we didn't experience any nursing difficulties, pumping and returning to work is a lot mentally. I love this podcast. Makes you feel good about whatever your decision you make as a mama, because they are your choices. I feel like I know Abby and Diane personally from listening so often, and they feel like trusted resource for my journey. I'm hoping to continue nursing my son past one and can't wait to stop pumping. I have my travel and train routine set at this point, but the countdown is definitely going to get to the end of pumping. Keep it going, ladies. This is an invaluable resource to us moms. I would love to know what she does.
So she's rail. Is she work on the railroad?
It sounds like it. Yeah.
Or is she just riding the train a lot?
No, it sounds like she works on the railroad.
That's awesome.
I know.
We recently, as soon as you were starting to read that, I was trying to find this email somebody sent a little while ago asking about her baby and the she was just asking a question. It wasn't a review or anything. She wanted information about the safety of breastfeeding because she worked in a mine.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was like, oh my God.
I knew somebody who worked in a mine, and it was like the stories that he told about being in this mine. Like, I can't even.
I can't even go into an elevator to go up to my dentist one floor.
Yeah.
Like, it freaks me out. Oh my God, get me out of here. Oh my God, I hope we don't get stuck.
Oh my God. Yeah, like the mind stuff is really, it's like mind-blowing to me. It really is. Just, but good for her. Oh my God.
That's cool.
It is. Yeah. Badass stuff.
Yeah, that's serious badass.
Yeah. So I'm sure that she's going to be getting some stickers she can stick along on the railroad.
Stick along the railroad.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But today, we've got a lot of internet stories today, huh?
We do. We do. We have a lot of internet stories. And somebody had an idea. You know, we ask for ideas for episodes, and a lot of these episodes come from people's ideas. But somebody said, can you do an episode on bed sharing with a toddler and a new baby, or a toddler and a baby, or two little ones? And I thought that was interesting, and that it would maybe be more interesting if we asked people to share their stories. Because, so we'll touch on the safety stuff here first for a moment, and then we'll get into the fun stuff. So with a newborn, you don't want to have a toddler around a newborn in the bed. And so what I always did, so there's probably things that like you're supposed to do, and then there's things that you're like going to do, right? Mm-hmm. What I always did was put myself in between Jack and Exley. And Jack mm-hmm. is 3 years older. So I would have Exley, our mattress was on the floor. And I would have first along the edge was Exley. And I wasn't worried about that because he was a newborn. And so he was just latched on. He wasn't like rolling around. He was just latched on safely in our safe bed sharing situation. And then behind me was Jack, which is, my back is now to Jack. There's a new baby and now my back is to you. So it's challenging. It's very challenging when a new baby comes into the house, not just figuring out where people are going to sleep, but like, you know, just challenging all around.
Mm-hmm.
So I always did it that way, where there was nobody around Exley except for me. And then I took into all of the other bed sharing safety things that we can link or that you can check out our other episodes on. We have whole entire episodes about safety.
So let me ask a question super quick, because mm-hmm. I'll often hear people say that they put their partner in a different room because mm-hmm. the partner doesn't want to share the bed with the baby, or the breastfeeding parent doesn't want to share the bed with the partner and the baby. So where was Josh?
Josh was on the other side of Jack.
And that's what I figured, but I didn't just want to assume that. And I wanted to put that out for people. You don't have to like kick your partner out.
No, you don't have to, but you can. I mean, there were times when he would sleep in the other room because, oh my God, when I just think about bed sharing in this house, how many phases we've gone through. And if you're going through something and it doesn't work, change it. Like you don't have to, you're not going to be able to do the same thing all the way through. It's just not going to happen. You know, people have kids go through so many changes that at some point it's just like, as soon as you get comfortable with something and it's working, that's when they'll switch things up and it won't work anymore. And it's not like you're doing something wrong. This is just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. There's not like a better way to do it. There's not like some secret that everyone's got that you don't know about. There's not, you know, some magic solution. It is the mess that you think it is that you're experiencing. That's it. And, you know, that's what it is having young kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the story. And, you know, there were times when, Josh would be in the other room because, he had to get up early for work or something. And so he would go sleep in another room so I could mess with the kids all night. Or at one point, once Exley got a little bit older, Exley decided that like 5:30 was his wake up time. And ew. Jack started getting pissed off about it. So he was like, I'm going to go sleep in a different room. I don't want to sleep by him anymore. So he would sleep in the other room, but he didn't always want to be alone. So then sometimes Josh would be over there with him, and then I'd be in the other room with Exley. And you'll hear like the craziest stories. And you know, I hear some people going like, oh, I didn't want my partner to sleep in another room. And like, that's fine. But also, I don't know. You have to just get through the night.
Yeah.
People want sleep. Like, you're sleeping. You should be sleeping. Whatever you're trying to do, the goal should be sleeping. Mm-hmm. So there should be no guilt. Just sleep. Or as much as you can, anyway. But so, yeah, I agree. Just, your partner doesn't have to leave the room. If it makes it easier, do it. They'll be back mm-hmm. soon enough. Because things constantly change.
Yeah.
So I just asked the internet. I said, how do you manage bed sharing / night nursing with a toddler and a baby? And so I have this, you know, I have my setup and my thing I said about newborns. And that becomes less of an issue as they get older. And then that's where the cuteness comes in. Like, they're sleeping and their heads are together, or one's got a foot on the other one's ear. Or, you know, I have so many pictures of that.
Aww.
Because then once they're mobile, once they can move around and roll around and all of that, the bed sharing risks decrease drastically.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just start reading. My toddler sleeps in a sidecar crib or a toddler bed, and the baby sleeps in the bed with me. Now that already has my mind blown. Like, because we always think of the crib, the sidecar crib, or the new thing that's hanging out there needs to be for the baby, but it doesn't.
That's true.
What if the toddler sleeps over there?
That's
and
a
then
good
the baby's
point.
In the bed.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Great idea.
Because the toddler is much, much more likely to stay over there through the night.
Right.
When my thing was sidecarring a crib, I always had Exley over there, and it didn't matter. I was in the crib. Erica says toddler in the middle, baby in the bassinet right next to the bed. Later, toddler with dad, mom in the guest room with the baby, still doing the second with the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old. See, that's a great example of just things move around.
Evolve. Yeah, yep. How they change and evolve. Yep.
Jenna has a king with a sidecar crib. Nice. We upgraded mm-hmm. from a double when I was pregnant with my second. Yeah, double. That's not enough room. That's not enough room for me and my husband alone.
Oh.
Even my queen, I'm like, move over.
Yeah. Mm-mm. No way.
That's not big enough. Lacey has a bed against the wall with a wedge bumper. Sleep between the two toddler bed bumper on the outside edge. Okay, so she's got bumpers all around and then between the two. And Jessica, we started with a king and a sidecar with the mattress on the floor. Now, at 7 months, we have a bed frame again, and the baby sleeps in the middle and the toddler on the other side with a bed rail. Turns out the toddler in the middle would just end up horizontal. Uh-huh. So we strangely have more space with him on the outside, and my husband doesn't get kicked in the nuts. How do I handle the actual back and forth nursing?
Mm-hmm.
I just go with the flow. Also have been cutting toddler's nursing time to 1 to 2 minutes, then popping him off. He complains, but usually turns over and goes back to sleep since he knows to expect that now. Yeah. And once Exley got a little bit older, once they get older, you can start to kind of do those things at night. Like, okay, yeah, we're going to nurse for 1 minute, and then I'm going to put my arm. That's what I would do with Exley. We're going to nurse for 1 minute, and then I'm going to put my arm around you. And some nights it went smoother than others, but overall, he was okay with it.
I have a client who's got like a, how old is her baby? She was a year in July. And every once in a while, I'll hear from her, and she'll be like, okay, the baby still nurses overnight. Everybody tells me that she shouldn't be. Is this normal? Ugh. And I'm like, yes, it's absolutely normal. It's absolutely fine. Because they co-sleep too. Uh-huh. She's like, you know, should I not be doing this? Should this, you know, is the baby, why is this odd that she's still nursing? And I'm like, no, this is normal. That's fine. Totally. Mm-hmm. Trust me. I promise. You're not doing anything strange. And it's really good to hear other people say, yeah, the toddler's nursing and the new baby's nursing. And it's like, yeah, it's normal. Yeah. It's okay. And you're making it easier on yourself. Because I think a lot of times people think, is the baby still nursing? Is the toddler, not toddler, but you know, like you get that age between like, I don't know, is like a year and a half a toddler considered a toddler?
I don't know. Yeah, that's really in between.
It's kind of in between. But people are like, well, if they weren't in the bed with me, would they still be getting up? Would they still be wanting to nurse if they weren't in the bed?
Hell yeah. I know people always think like, well, if I nightly now get more sleep. And like, I'm sure that's a thing that's happened in the world, but like generally not, because as we've talked about a lot of in these sleep episodes, is that they're just not developmentally ready to sleep through the night. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do that. So they're still going to be waking up. And it's just going to be how you choose to handle that. Nurse them, you know, whatever people do.
Yep.
And that early bed sharing was just me flipping over back and forth. Here, boob in your mouth, boob in your mouth, boob in your mouth, boob in your mouth, and just like rolling back and forth, getting them through the night.
Yeah.
And getting very little sleep. And I honestly now, if I get like, I feel like I've adjusted to just like not sleeping that much. Like if I get a solid few hours, it's like, okay, wow, I slept for a long time. let me finish this. I'll finish a couple of these and then we'll take a break.
Okay.
Two king size beds put together.
Oh my gosh.
That's awesome. We all sleep together.
How big of a room is that? Holy crap.
I don't know. It's a really big room. And a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old and me and my husband.
Oh, they have a huge family bed.
They have a really big, oh, that is just the dream. That is so sweet. I love that. I just love it. And yeah, everybody wishing they had a king size bed. So, including me, I'm like, we got a new mattress. We had a queen. We have a queen and a twin put together because Exley at 9 still sleeps next to me. And we got a new mattress like a few years ago. And then I was like, why didn't we get a king? I mean, a queen and a twin together is a little bit bigger than a king. But I'm like, why didn't we just get a king mattress?
I know.
I'm still so irritated about it years later. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, that would have been better.
Yeah. Anyway, let's take a break and then we'll be back with more stories from the badasses from the internet.
Awesome.
Today's episode is brought to you by Sarah's Chill, a company that never stops making the lives of breastfeeding parents easier. Created by a mom for moms, they know the challenges that this journey can bring. That's why they are committed to creating solutions that help families overcome hurdles and reach their breastfeeding goals. Their Shield Maiden nipple guards help parents overcome obstacles with latching, soreness, and flat or inverted nipples. Each Shield Maiden is made of laboratory-tested food-grade silicone that is velvety, skin-textured on the side used by your nursing baby and smooth on the mama side so it adheres well. But the best part is they change colors. The shields are a vibrant color at room temperature, so you can easily find them when you need them, and clear at body temperature to give you a more natural experience. Revolutionary mom tech is the coolest. Whether it's game-changing breast milk chiller, an epic freezer storage system, or color-changing nipple shields, the company has everything you need and want. Sarah's Chill is truly breastfeeding reimagined. Head to sarahschill.com, that's CeresChill.com, and check out the magic sizing kit to find your perfect fit. And you can use code BADASS for 15% off of your purchase. And today's sponsor and their promo code can be found in the show notes under this episode or at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com. And over at our website, you will find all of our other episodes and information about scheduling your very own one-on-one online lactation consultation with Diane.
So what do we got now?
Let's see. Let me get over to... That was Facebook.
Oh.
And now we're going to go to Instagram. And we can compare, see if there's any like themes from both.
Okay.
Ready. Let's see. Okay. I bed share with a 20-month-old in a king size bed. It's rough. My husband sleeps in the guest room for now. I can't imagine bed sharing with two or more as of right now. Okay, so she just has the one. My almost four-year-old sleeps on her toddler bed, which is in our room. Husband helps most of the nights to get her to bed, and thankfully, she's so great, she falls asleep super fast. She sleeps there all night. It's only been very few times she jumps into our bed since we transitioned her 6 months ago in preparation for little sister. Now my six-week-old sleeps in the middle of husband and I in the Easter King bed. She is by my side all night and has access to Booby all night long. We sleep amazing and I can't complain. I can't complain. All right, the first few weeks were a nightmare and I was just surviving. That's so normal.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because I didn't want a bed share this time around and wanted so badly to have my newborn sleep in her bassinet, but it just didn't work. So bed sharing is the best thing we can do for all of us. And that's another thing. People just try. I mean, that was like with Jack. I was told not to bed share with Jack, and I was told it was dangerous and put him in his own bed. And I did all of that. He never slept.
Yeah.
He never slept. And I know that's not the case with all babies. Some babies do sleep fine in the crib. He never slept. If I wasn't
The comfort of being next to your mother is like, you can't beat it.
Some babies just can't do it.
Mm-mm.
All right. Toddler on one side of me, baby on the other. My toddler starts the night in his own twin floor bed, which is in our room. He'll climb onto his side of our bed at some point in the night. Sometimes he sleeps all night in his bed, but not usually. It can definitely make for some long nights. Being aware of two babies throughout the night equals very light and not very restful sleep. It's just a phase. And that's true. Like one baby, you're not getting much sleep. Two, you're just, you know, you're just like the main person. So you're not sleeping very much. You're just like, I am responsible for two people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. My oldest was 19 months when my youngest was born. At first, I had to tandem nurse them to bed in a king plus a twin next to it for my toddler to sleep in. My husband sleeps in the guest room for now while we co-sleep. I would basically be turning back and forth between them all night. At first, it was exhausting. After a few months, my toddler began to sleep through the night. My baby still wakes to feed at night, especially when he's teething. But my now three-year-old is on his second night in his room. I'm on the twin, and my now 18-month-old is on the entire king bed.
Oh my God.
Yep, that happens too. Let's see. We have a king and a double bed together to make a family bed. 7-year-old, 4-year-old, my husband, me, and then our 5-week-old.
Wow.
Oh, that's so dreamy. I love that. Just like the whole, just having such a huge space where everybody mm-hmm. can sleep. I loved bed sharing, if you can't tell. I mean, like, it was really hard, but like, I just really like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Exley's there and, you know, my mom's always like, when is he going to, does he talk about sleeping in his own bed? And I'm like, we talk about it sometimes and he says he doesn't want to. And like, I don't know. I really just don't believe he's going to be 16 wanting to sleep with me.
No, I don't think so.
I think it'll happen one day where he's just like, all right, I'm ready.
Yeah. And I mean, it just brings you a different level of bonding.
It does.
Really.
It really does. And I think for Exley, like Jack is very verbal. Like your relationship with Jack is verbal mm-hmm. because he's just so hyperverbal and always has been. Exley's not as much. And so Exley and I, you know, sometimes I think like, oh, you know, I wish he could, wish he would talk more. I wish he would, you know, be able to explain his emotions more and all of that. But also he's very like cuddly and like, we just have a different relationship. And I think that's one of the ways that it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is more like he just maybe needs that like a little bit longer than Jack did.
How old was Jack when he went to his homeroom?
Well, he was probably, let's see, he was maybe six. And that was because, and that was because he was sick of Exley waking him up early.
Mm-hmm.
Like he probably would have stayed a little bit longer, but he had like, he had the motivation.
Yeah,
to get out. True. But still six, people hear that and they're like, oh my God, I'd never sleep with a 6 year old. But I don't know. I was fine with it.
Yeah.
All right. I kept the new baby on one side and my toddler on the other. If I wasn't on my back, I was on my side toward the baby and turned the other way if my toddler needed me. That's exactly my story. My toddler only really nursed to sleep and slept the whole night, thankfully. So it was a lot easier than it could have been. Toddler mattress next to the bed and the younger baby in the middle of husband and I. Let's see.
The comfort is so nice, you know?
Yeah. Do not move. Haha. Get used to hanging off your huge bed. I like bed sharing when I was breastfeeding. I would just roll over and let her nurse and go right back to sleep. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people are like, well, I don't even know how much the baby eats during the night. I'll wake up and he's latched on. So, yeah. Like, go. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. And it's just, it's so much easier. Mm-hmm. Listen, Sarah says, I have a three-year gap and then a 2.5-year gap between my kids. I was still nursing the older one 2 times a day when I gave birth, but had night weaned and moved the toddler to their own bed. I still settled the toddler a few times a night and co-slept with a newborn. It works quite well both times. I mean, people just find, you can just find what works for you. And if it doesn't work, keep changing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we always did. We just like, I was just moving furniture all the time around. I'm like, and then I'd go, after like a couple of bad nights, I would just march out one day and I'd be like, all right, this is what we're doing tonight. And then we would just try something else. We have a king and a twin side by side. Four-year-old sleeps in the twin, then comes me, then three-month-old, then husband. With a mega family bed, king and a twin mashed together, four-year-old on the twin and almost two-year-old in the middle of the king and me between them both. It was rough in the beginning, then it got easier. After two, I planned to wean and get both kids into a room together for my own mental health, just taking it one day at a time. Kim, this will be me soon. I'm all ears. One of my worries is that they will wake each other up when they wake up in the night. Is that an issue for anyone? No, yeah, it is. That was, at least for me, it was them waking each other up. Yeah, man, that's rough in the beginning. I'm starting to remember. Because Jack would also was just like having tantrums in the middle of the night. Like he would just be like, he was adjusting to a new baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was upset, just in general. He was just upset with the world.
Yeah.
With a five-day... You know, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, my twins slept together. And I always tell people to keep their twins together, like in the same bed, in the same crib, in the same bed. I always keep them together. They just do better. And every once in a while, somebody will tell me, oh, I tried to do that, but one would wake the other one up. It's like, yeah, that happens.
That's okay. A thing. Yeah.
It's just, you know, like it's just going to happen. But overall, they do much better when they're together.
Yeah.
Like physiologically, even they just do better together. Right.
Yeah, they were in the womb together waking each other up.
Right.
They're fine with it. They're okay with it.
Yeah, like it's totally fine. times when they were fussy, I would just shove them together, like in the, like during their like that fussy evening time. Just let them scream at each other. Just right. Put them together.
Yeah,
they're, you know what? And then they'd fall asleep. Like one would fall asleep, and the other would be crying or whatever. It's like they're fine together. They have no problems.
Yeah, I mean they're screaming at each other. At least they're not screaming at you.
I know, right? Exactly. But they slept together for years and years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just such a comfort thing, you know? Yeah. Like, it's just... Mm-hmm.
But we sexualize it, right? We sexualize sleeping. And it's like, whoa, you shouldn't have, you know, they're too old to be in the bed, or they're too, they shouldn't be sleeping together. It's like... This is, we're talking about sleep.
Yeah, and especially because my twins were boy girl, or our boy girl.
Yeah,
that was freaked people out.
Yeah. But
they're twins. Leave them alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are just, issues.
People have this closeness issue, right? I mean, that's just too close for comfort for people. It's like, oh, no, that's like a very intimate thing. When it's actually quite normal, biologically. You know, species wise,
we live in this society where like breeding independence is what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and even with babies.
Yes, as early as possible. Make them independent. Make them sleep by themselves. Make them eat by themselves. Make them function by themselves all the time. That's the goal. And it's like, but then, I don't know. It's just, I just don't get it.
Yeah. All right. 14 month old is between me and her dad. On our mattress on the floor, extra single mattress to the side, which was meant to be hers, but she had started latching in the early hours and not wanting to let go until she wakes up. Bed sharing felt like such a revelation at first, and I still love waking up with her, but I think it's now that the tiredness is hitting. Hats off to those with more than one kiddo to care for. I've been bed sharing with my now 4-year-old since he was a baby. Now I have a 7-month-old daughter. My husband currently sleeps on the couch, but he described my sleeping position as a contorted letter C with one boob on the loose. My back and right shoulder are screaming. Ordered a family bed, so I hope we'll have more space. I doubt those kids will appreciate that, though. Ordered a family bed. What does that mean?
So she must have ordered a bigger bed.
Ordered a bigger bed.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
That's going to be good. But yeah, it's so hard to... Just like, this is beyond this conversation, but just the night nursing when you're laying on your side and you're just dying to move over, or lay on your stomach, or lay, you know, do something like that. It does get really uncomfortable. I have a 9 and nearly 6-year-old with me, plus an 18-month-old breastfeeding through the night. Gotta laugh or else I'm gonna cry. Yeah, she's got a 9-year-old in her bed too.
Yep.
All right. We have 3 kids, and after finding out we were pregnant with each child, we weaned off breastfeeding. Oldest stopped at 16 months, middle stopped at 2 years, and youngest just stopped recently at 20 months. I'm now 15 weeks pregnant with our 4th. We start off with each child sleeping in their own beds. Youngest falls asleep with us in our bed. Then we move the youngest to her side open cot, which is connected to our king bed. By around midnight or 1 a.m., our oldest finds her way into our bed. By 4 or 5 a.m., our youngest climbs in. And on occasion, our middle comes in the middle of the night also. Sometimes, being the gentleman he is, he just goes into his sister's cot, but he just wants the comfort of knowing we are there next to him.
Aww.
I used to breastfeed them all lying down, and if one of the older siblings came into the bed, they'd be on the opposite side of me to the one who was still breastfeeding. It gets a bit crowded at times, but we somehow still get enough sleep. We have the open side cot on one side of the bed and a bed barrier on the other side.
So that's another one who the older kid is in the open cot thing.
Yeah.
In the side cot.
That's, I don't know. I'm idea. Like seriously having a freaking revelation about it right now.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
I don't know why I didn't think of that. All four of us in a king bed. It's chaos, but we make it work. Newborn just added into the mix in July. So now 3 months in, she has only slept in the bed, no bassinet. Toddler is in between me and Papa, and the newborn is on the other side of me. I bought two bed bumpers, and one is on the other side of her to prevent any possibility of falling off. Second bed bumper is loose in the room, and when they are both asleep, I sneak out of the room, lay it in between them to keep the baby safe from her brother, who moves all over the bed. I nurse toddler to sleep and roll back and over to baby as needed to side lay with her. In the morning, when I need to switch sides with her, I actually flip her and I around so our heads are at the foot of the bed. Oh, it's chaos, but it works for us. She is a great sleeping newborn and we are all relatively smaller. Bed bumpers are much narrower than pillows and are working out fabulously. I used pillows at first until my aha moment to get the bumpers, and I am so happy with the decision. It was exactly what we needed. So there's a whole lot of rearranging going on in there.
Yeah.
And as long as you feel like it's safe and you've looked up all the safety things and have taken that into consideration, then you're in charge of your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can decide how to do this.
And I love how she said that the baby's a great sleeper. Well, she's a great sleeper because look where she is.
Yeah. She's just surrounded by her family and knows that mm-hmm. she can go to sleep.
Yeah, she's safe.
And the saber-toothed tiger is not going to come get her.
Exactly.
Sam says, my husband sidecarred the whole ass crib to the bed. Sometimes she sleeps in it and I can stretch out. Other times she's still latched all night at 2.5. Most times it's a combination of the two. Hannah says, it's 3:13. I haven't slept since midnight. First, my daughter woke me up to nurse again and again. And then my son woke up. Absolute nightmare. And my husband is not just sleeping. No, he's snoring loudly. That's really annoying. That's all.
That's awesome.
All of the stories. But those are great stories. And oh, wow. Yeah. It was like all fit very perfectly into this episode.
I know. That's perfect. I think one of the themes here is a king size mattress is the way to go.
Mattresses, mattresses, mattresses.
Mm-hmm.
And
that is the way to be.
Staggering adults and children. That's helpful as well.
Absolutely.
So thanks to everyone who shared your story. And thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.